Hi, this is Elmore Leonard. I'm listening to Film Sociology, and it's a real program. It's great.
It's time to hear what's good, what's bad, and what's ugly at the multiplex and the art house. What's new on video and streaming, and you might also hear about some dead people we like.
We don't have time for dead people we don't like.
Anyway, this is Film Sociology, where you'll find out what's the next cinematic marvel.
It was unbelievable!
And what's just a movie.
Shut up! My God, you have no freaking life!
Okay, here's your host and my dad, Matthew Soucy.
Hello there, film lovers. Welcome to Film Sociology, a film podcast here at WFYI.org. If you have a question or a comment, you can email me at msocey, that's M-S-O-C-E-Y, at WFYI.org. I'm also on Facebook, also on Twitter, at Matthew Soucy. The show is available on iTunes, and like all of the podcasts here at WFYI, it's available on Spotify. Well, friends, we got through another week. I hope you're staying safe. Hope you're staying sane. Hope you're staying healthy. Hope you're staying good. And hope you're staying being good to one another out there, whether you're watching movies in the theaters or watching stuff at home. And we'll get to the grab a pencil portion of the show in a little bit. We'll get to what you've watched over the last week. But I want to start with, things show up in the mail and you got to watch them. And that's kind of what I've been doing this past week. I got a huge collection from Time Life Home Video. It's a 12 DVD set, and it's Saturday Night Live, the early years, going from 1975 to 12 DVDs, 33 episodes. And going through these, and there's a number of these episodes that I've never seen before. I mean, even when it's been on reruns on NBC or on VH1 or what have you, there were just some that I just missed. And others I hadn't seen in a long, long time. So I thought it'd be fun to look at the parody films, the film parodies that SNL did in the first 5 years, at least in this collection. And then eventually on the Blues House Party, I'm going to do music by the artists that are musical guests. Not necessarily songs they did on the show, but blues tunes or blues artists that I can get away with, because that's what I do sometimes. Going back, I've reached a point with a lot of things, I've tried not to yuck people's yums as much as I used to, and I've calmed down in my younger days. But people griping about the current state of SNL, everybody does it, and guess what? It's been 45 years, and it's still going. So you sound like the old folks watching the Ed Sullivan Show, thinking rock and roll's a fad. It's still going. So just every generation has its Rembrandts. Every generation has its dogs playing poker. And the original cast, guess what? The last 30 minutes of their show, the sketches were always kind of as well, because you put the best up first, always. So anyway, it's kind of griping about the current state of SNL is kind of like griping about why doesn't MTV play videos anymore. I'm just tired of it. So move on. Do something else. Don't let it bother you. All right. Going back to the list. So the very first film parody they did, of course, was Chevy Chase's Landshark, a send-off of Jaws. You also have John Belushi doing a decent Richard Dreyfuss, and Roy Scheider is being performed by Dan Aykroyd. The other really famous one at that time was Exorcist II, because Richard Pryor was the young priest who gets ticked off by Lorraine Newman's possessed character. One I had never seen before, Citizen Kane 2, where it's Buck Henry and Lorraine Newman. Newman plays a nurse who was Charles Foster Kane's nurse, and she admits saying that he said more than just Rosebud for his final words. So that was fun to watch. There was one of Chinatown with John Belushi as Jack Nicholson and Madeline Kahn as Faye Dunaway, and it turns into a duet. Speaking of Belushi, I do remember the other one that they did of The Omen, where he plays Damien, and Buck Henry is the Gregory Peck character, the father, and Dan Aykroyd comes in as the David Warner character with a piece of fence sticking through him. One I had never seen before, and it was Paul Simon was hosting as well as doing some music. But there was a send off of Billy Jack, in this case Billy Paul. So not that Billy Paul. That would be interesting. I would like to see that. Of course, Candice Bergen, which she hosted, there was an opening. The opening was done like Casablanca with Belushi. The Killer Trees. That's just any killer movie from the 50s and 60s. As an example that not everything ages well, there's Roots 2, basically, with Garrett Morris as Alex Haley, talking about doing a very fast rewrite, and you have The White Sail with Belushi and Bill Murray, and the Southern accents are, slave accents are not the greatest. Charles Grodin hosted one, and there was a send-off of the Italian new wave of the 50s and 60s. Bill Murray reviewed The Deep for a Weekend Update, as well as profiling American hot wax star Lorraine Newman, because I remember that. Frogs Look at Film. Robert Klein hosted, and he got to play Jerry Lewis in one of those kind of mid 60s, not very good Jerry Lewis films where, you know, all he has to do is flail and stress out. Going to 1978, there was, I forgot, and this was a rare one where they took a running bit throughout the last third of the show, but Attack of the Atomic Lobsters. Yeah, that was fun. And then the last one of note really was La Dolce Gilda, which was basically Gilda Radner in her version of Fellini's La Dolce Vita. So anyway, it's a slew of stuff. And they handpicked some of the best of the early years, obviously, because of guests, because, you know, the host or the music and or the music guest and or the sketches that are in them. So anyway, it's good stuff, and I'm only halfway through, I think, so I need to continue, and you'll probably get a second report on the Thanksgiving weekend edition of Film Sociology. But yeah, Best of Seasons 1 through 5, Saturday Night Live, the early years from Time Life Home Video. Go look for it. Early stocking stuffing gift. Stocking stuffer gift, so... New on HBO this week is a documentary called Crazy Not Insane from director Alex Gibney, and it's the profile of Dr. Dorothy Ottenau Lewis, a woman who studies murderers and why humans kill. And it's kind of a scientific detective story because we get her background as a psychologist as well as the study of violence. And she talks about, and it's a little bit of a bio for her, as well as finding out that she interviewed the gentleman who shot John Lennon. There's a big section near the end about her interview with Ted Bundy, including audio that she did of Bundy the night before his execution. And it's one of those that I knew that there was an aspect of this, I've known for a while, where nobody is born evil. People like Ted Bundy and Mark Chapman are labeled evil, but they weren't born that way. They weren't Damien in The Omen, I would tell you that. And she got ridiculed by her peers early on as far as trying to get into the mind of the killers and how they got that way. And you think people would be a little more open to that. And, well, look where we're living. So one thing. And so anyway, it's her research on this as well as career highlights, including she was called by Martin Scorsese to consult on Cape Fear. And De Niro, preparing for the role of Max Cady, got to meet one of her patients. And what has become a through line was that the killers that she had interviewed, all of them had one sense of horrendous childhood upbringing, trauma, abuse, things like that. And there's an interesting twist because she also interviews a gentleman whose job is to travel and basically be a traveling executioner, conducting executions throughout the country. And the profile started, the interview section started to feel he was more like one of the, well, he is one of the killers, but he's just on the other side. And in his case, it's an example of, he finds it bad if somebody's killing a grocery store clerk, but if it's a guy on death row for him, it's no problem. So anyway, good discussion film if you're with a group. Well, if you're in a small group, you're like your household. But it's on HBO. Look for Crazy Not Insane on HBO. Okay, Before I get into some of the other video titles I got to watch this week, you're listening to Film Sociology, a film podcast here at WFYI.org. This happens to me every now and then, and this one had kind of a happier ending. Have you ever lent out your movies to somebody, and it takes a long time for them to either watch it and or get it back to you? Now, I'm not going to name names, but I do want to thank and say I'm happy that the folks I let them who I let borrow a couple of movies actually did watch them and did return them. Thank you. There was a gentleman I did radio with years and years ago. No, not him. But he borrowed a couple of my films, and when the show that we were all working on together got canned, this person left town and then wound up working in another market in the state. So I was able to see this person and get my movies back. But that was the one I was kind of sweating over the most. But it was a good excuse to revisit. These are two films by director Steve James. I know he has a new documentary that's available on streaming. I need to get to that. Of course, Steve James, best known for his work in the masterpiece Hoop Dreams. But his follow-up to that was a film called Stevie, where we find out James was a Big Brother participant while he was in college, while in downstate Illinois. And he met up with a troubled young man named Stevie. And 10 years later, he decides to go back and see what's happening with him. And it ain't good. And so part of it is him chronicling what Stevie's going through. There is a pretty horrendous crime that happens throughout the film. And it's him trying to be a filmmaker, but also guilting himself because he didn't stay in touch. And also, to a certain degree, guilting himself because he's filming this. And I know some folks are tired of documentary filmmakers who are the star of their films. You know who they are. And but this is one that's interesting because he's putting a mirror up to himself and is saying he's just as guilty. The other one that the other Steve James film was which was a lighter and fun to watch was Real Paradise, where he follows a major film distributor who uproots his family to Fiji and starts showing movies for free in a small Fijian town. And it chronicles the last month of the family living there and how things like production screening problems, your projections doesn't show up, your house gets broken into, what movies to show, what the little kids in town are going to like, and a little culture shock and adjustment for the family. So anyway, if you look for those, I have physical copies, so I don't know where to find them. They're in my basement. But look for the Steve James documentaries, Stevie and Real Paradise. New on Corneth video is The Chronicles of Melanie, which is starts in about the mass deportation of Latvia's residents to Siberia in 1941, and how she was able to write a book that was eventually published in 1991 at the age of 86, while she was a young person in the 40s. And then she couldn't get it published because of the Soviet years. And it's a good looking black and white film. Probably not the best film to watch while you're in semi quarantine mode. As far as this family waiting on their father, relocating with others, and it's a different variation of a World War II story, not quite a Holocaust story. But darn close. So anyway, that's on Corneth Films, the Chronic video, The Chronicles of Melanie on Corneth Films. Also from Film Movement in Japan, the Japanese film A Girl Missing, about a private home nurse who's one of her client's daughters is abducted. And it turns out that the person who abducted the girl is the nurse's nephew. So it's an interesting chemistry between the nurse and the oldest daughter of the family who knew about the connection and what the nurse does and doesn't tell, and what happens between the nurse and her nephew. So it's an interesting, good, slow burn as far as also the fact that, you know, I remember making fun of Spider-Man 3 because the butler in that film for James Franco thought he was in Remains of the Day and didn't voice up about anything. And that's kind of a big point in this as far as what happens when you're working for a family, but you're not part of the family. So look for A Girl Missing, courtesy of Film Movement. Also on IndiePix, a short, less than an hour, 2010 documentary. Emma and I got to watch this one together, called You're Looking at Me Like I Live Here and I Don't. And it follows a woman named Lee Gorowitz, who is in the early stages of Alzheimer's, living in a home, in a facility. And compared to other people in this home, she is more mobile. She has most of her most of her bearings compared to some of the others. There's a lot of footage of people in wheelchairs in a circle, kicking a ball around for physical fitness, having young people with a guitar serenade them. And Lee is obviously the subject of this, and you see her in front of the camera, addressing the camera or not addressing the camera. And yes, there's editing, but there's also some life aspects if you know folks who are in Alzheimer's, where it's one moment cheerful, another moment brutal, another moment it's tired and sad. And this could be within a span of minutes. And it's really raw watching Lee go through her daily life and sitting with one person and just lashing out at another, being nice to the staff. I mean, there's a lot of conflict that's going on in this. And for less than an hour, it really packs a punch. So look for, on IndiePix, You're Looking at Me Like I Live Here and I Don't. From Film Movement and Omnibus from Portugal, a film called Hero on the Front. And it's about a famous Portuguese soldier in World War I who he basically single-handedly fights off the German troops by ignoring orders. And then the film goes back and forth between World War I and World War II, where he is fighting in the trenches in the first war, and then there's a ceremony for him, a street dedication in the second war, and talking as an older man about how he feels more like an ornament and a symbol, and that the medals weigh him down literally and figuratively. The artwork for this video, for this movie, try to make it look like it's 1917. It's not a single tracking shot, but you get the war footage, which is not bad. The older portion of the film with the soldier and his daughter, them out hunting, that's a little more interesting for me. But the parallels run very similar as far as returning home after surviving, returning home to your troops, returning home to your family. But yeah, it's worth a watch, and it's on Omnibus Film Movement from Portugal called Hero of the Front. One warning though, if you get this film, especially a physical copy, watch it in Portuguese immediately. The English track, the dubbing track is not good. Ooh, it kind of hurts. And finally, on new on video this week, oh man, all right, let me explain. I watched Unhinged. Yes, the Russell Crowe killer pickup truck movie that came out in August, and it was the first major movie to be released in theaters after the pandemic. Obviously, I didn't see it there. I wanted to. I was intrigued to see it in when it came out on video. Obviously, and part of it was I wanted to see how much scenery chewing Russell Crowe was going to do. He does a lot. Imagine Falling Down combined with Duel and some choices that have to be made, like in the film Saw. It's a story of basically white male road rage, in which a woman going through a divorce is trying to drop her teen son off at school. There's a misunderstanding and tempers flare on the road, and Crow's character just becomes a shark with a truck and keeps following and tormenting everybody in his path. I mentioned those films, and yeah, there's also a little bit of Jaws comparison, and that's brought up in the documentary, the behind the scenes of this. It's a bonkers film, and I think there have been times I remember on this show where I've had Chris Lloyd on. Hello, Chris. Where we one of us will like something and the other will dislike something because it's absolutely that film. It's absolutely bonkers. And this is a pizza and beer film. I'm not saying it's good. It's something. We get a scene, the very first scene of Crow's character who's lost his job and he's losing his family and his house and he basically just goes on a tirade. And I don't think it's really needed, although we can tell, we see from this that he's in a bad spot. He's in a bad head place. I would have been intrigued to see if we could introduce the Crow's character while stuck in traffic. But then it would be under 30 minutes. And anyway, I guess that you had the filmmaker wanted to have that scene so we could see maybe how psychotic he is and how much enraged he is. I would have been interested to see that without it. We do get into some horror film, you know, thriller fighting at the end and a bad tagline by the mother who, you know, fights back eventually. I could see this in, you know, in normal times, a packed audience, really loud, really rowdy, and more than half of the folks would be cheering, and probably the critics like me would be kind of quiet. But yeah, it's a bonkers film. But if you like to see over the top acting, see it for Russell Crowe. So it's out there. It's Unhinged. Oh, one other thing, and I'm being Columbo now in this case. The credit sequence of Unhinged is a medley of actual phone camera footage of road rage happening. We get it. You don't need to show us that. We're in tense times at the moment, so we'll focus on this. Thank you. You're listening to Film Sociology, a film podcast here at WFYI.org. Before we grab a pencil and talk about what you've been watching over the last week, over at IU Cinema through December 2nd, they have the 1972 documentary Nation Time. Also running through December 2nd from 2018, the drama Radium Girls. Running through December 9th is the 2020 documentary City Hall. And on Friday, December 4th, there is a special virtual event at 7 p.m. of the 2020 documentary Coded Bias. And in running December 7th through the 14th, Razzle Dazzle, The Lost World. All of this is happening over at IU Cinema. At the Historic Artcraft Theater in Franklin, Indiana, on this weekend, on Saturday at 2 and 7:30 p.m., and Sunday, November 22nd at 2 and 5:30 p.m., The Bells of St. Mary. On November 27th and 28th at 2 and 7:30 p.m. I'm sorry, the Friday performances are sold out, and the 7 p.m. Saturday performance is sold out. But on the 29th at 2 and 5:30 p.m. at the Historic Artcraft Theater, The Santa Claus, the first one. And let's see, December 6th at 2 and 5:30 p.m. is Christmas Story over at the Artcraft Theater in Franklin. And then It's a Wonderful Life will be at the Artcraft Theater on December 11th at 2 and 7:30 p.m. and then on the 12th at 2 p.m. and then December 13th at 2 and 5:30 p.m. While we're in the shameless plug department, I'm acting in a production at Richmond Civic Theater of the 1940s radio version of It's a Wonderful Life. It is on stage, but we're doing it as if it's a 1940s radio broadcast. That is running December 5th and 6th. And we're also going to have some virtual screenings, some streaming performances of those. You can go to gorct.org for all the information over there. And the Skyline Drive-In in Shelbyville is still open. This weekend they are showing Freaky, the thriller with Vince Vaughn and Alan Ruck, as well as Idle Hands from 1999. Okay, friends, grab a pencil. Let's find out what you've been watching recently. And we start with my buddy Eric via email. First time viewing the Netflix miniseries of Rebecca, which he deemed fair to middling. as well as Spellbound, the 1945 Hitchcock film, Good Plus, as he puts it. One of his rewatches, the 1990 Hunt for Red October, deemed marvelous because, you know, everyone's favorite Scottish-Russian sea captain or submarine officer, that's Sean Connery. Also, then, The Killers from 1946, a great noir classic. That's the one with Burt Lancaster and Ava Gardner. And also watched The Queen's Gambit. So that's what Eric watched. Thank you over there. Over on Twitter, Jay Reed writes, just finished the Parallax View this afternoon. Great performances and took its time building suspense. Absolutely right at Daddy Pants 1220. And in fact, I let him know Criterion put out their new titles for, I believe, the February release, and the Parallax View is going to get a Criterion treatment. So look out for that. Darren writes, Raising Arizona, Dodge City, Robin and the Seven Hoods. Megan writes, Big Hero 6, Downton Abbey, and Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves. Britt writes, Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs. Romancing the Stone, Jewel of the Nile, American Hustle, Radioactive, and Masters of the Universe. Catherine writes, Gods and Monsters, Ed Wood, Green Room, The Booksellers, The Warrior Queen of Hansi, and Kong Skull Island. Oh, that's fun. Joe writes, The Crown, Mile 22, Greyhound, The Twelfth Man, The Mandarin, and The Right Stuff. Jeff writes, Dog Days and Late Night. Scott writes, I binge-watched The Boys on Amazon. Oh, I watched a bit of Almost Famous yesterday. Joan writes, Judy. Dylan writes, Radio Days, The Golden Child, and Invasion USA. Teresa writes, Pitch Perfect, Blues Brothers, Caddyshack, Miss Congeniality 2, Armed and Fabulous, Sister Act, Bad Boys, and 51st Dates. Abby writes, Hi, Abby Terzini. The animated Beauty and the Beast, Anastasia, and Forgetting Sarah Marshall. Beverly writes, The Ocean's 11 series and The Butler. David writes, Constantine and The Hunt for Red October. Jim writes, The King of Comedy. That film is more relevant today than it was back then. Rachel writes, Operation Petticoat, My Dinner with... Oh, nice. And then Andy writes, My Dinner with Andre and Princess Mononoke. Andy, if that was a double bill, I would be doubly impressed. Michael writes, Contact. Carrie writes, Elf. Nick Rogers writes, Just One of the Guys, Whip It, Most Wanted, Cloud Atlas, Long Shot, The World Is Not Enough, The Pirates of Somalia, Die Another Day, Dick Johnson Is Dead, and Black Sheep. Kim writes, Caddyshack, Queen's Gambit, and Human Nature. Sam Watermeyer writes, Meet the Parents and Paterno. Steven writes, Sundays in Cybele, which John had never seen, and episode one and first installments of episode two of His Dark Materials and The Phantom Carriage. Kaylin writes, The Beautiful Fantastic, Perfume, A Story of Murder, and Hunt for the Wilder People. Kate writes, Guns Akimbo. Jonathan writes, Our Man Flint and the sequel In Like Flint. I enjoyed the first one more than the second. It's a fun spoof on the spy genre. You can tell James Coburn had fun with the role and the sets were visually appealing. Great escapist fare. Thank you, Jonathan. And don't forget the great Lee J. Cobb. Missy writes The Heat. Judy writes Leave No Trace and Almost Famous. And then added, some of it doesn't hold up these years later. It was the 70s. Well, the set piece, the setting of the film. Gary writes The Manchurian Candidate, the original, Tower of Screaming Virgins, Hercules in the Haunted World, Castle of Blood, and Castle of Cagliostro. I'm sure I butchered that. Tony writes Trial of the Chicago 7, Booksmart, and Some Kind of Wonderful. Jed writes, Watch the premiere of the horror anthology 13 Slays Till Xmas, official. I had the privilege of writing and directing one of the 13 short segments for the film. Can't wait for everyone to see it. That's Jed Bryan. He's been on this show before. You know that, so go look for that. Jamie writes, Christmas Prince 1, 2, and 3, and Princess Switch 1 and 2. Yes, Virginia, and The First Christmas Snow. Kelsey writes, Pride and Prejudice, the Joe Wright version. Such a gorgeous film. It's my go-to whenever I feel the least bit poorly. Hang in there, Kelsey. Megan writes, Over the Moon, Ellie Loves It, and Elf. Lou Harry writes, Sound of Metal, Wolfwalkers, The Stand-In, and Safety Not Guaranteed. Taylor writes, The Big Sleep, Mr. Right, Treasure of the Sierra Madre, and 200 Motels. Joe Shearer writes, Black Bear, The King of Comedy, Crazy Not Insane, I'm Your Woman, Emperor, Buffaloed, Beast Clawing at Straws, Never Rarely, Sometimes Always, and I'm working on the New Mutants this morning. Thank you, Joe. A lot of dialogue there. Andrew writes, Phone Booth, Blank House, S House, and Iron Man. I can say Schitt's Creek, but I can't say this title. That's all right. Susie writes, The Spy Who Dumped Me. Amy writes, Blinded by the Light. Liz writes, Igor, because I'm that kind of gal. Okay. Spencer writes, Testament, Israeli film. Cole writes, Cats, 1998 version. I'm guessing that's a performance. Brian writes Sherlock Holmes, the Robert Downey Jr., Guy Pierce, Guy Ritchie. That's what I meant there. Anyway, Sherlock Holmes, Game of Shadows, Worthy, The Foreigner, Bushwick, The Last Foreshadowing, What Some Fear Is to Come, plus some pretty good filmmaking. Thank you, Brian. Daniel writes, Half of Lovesick, I didn't like it, Pritzi's Honor, Gone Girl, The Unforgiven, that's the Burt Lancaster, Audrey Hepburn Western, not the Clint Eastwood Western, Vertigo, Houdini, that's the Tony Curtis biopic, The Wind and the Lion, Meet Me in St. Louis, or St. Louis, and Night of the Iguana. David writes, The Queen's Gambit, Freaky and Blood from Stone. James writes, Bushwick. Melissa writes, Elizabethtown and Red 2. Jared writes, watched some Harry Potter movies last weekend and the 2018 version of The Grinch last night. Thank you, Jared. Joshua writes, Silverado. Craig writes, Trial of the Chicago 7. Gretchen writes, Friday Girl and Due Date. Stephanie writes, The Queen's Gambit. Not a movie, but definitely worthy of discussion. Tim writes, Six Underground. Don writes, Trapped in Paradise and Trial and Error. James writes, Brides of Dracula. Kathy writes, Waking Ned Divine, The Commitments, and The Secret of Rowan and Ish, a big Irish binge. Very good. Andy writes, Wolf of Snow Hollow. It's awful. Don't. Dustin writes, Roberta from 1935, The Hurt Locker, and Fiddler, A Miracle of Miracles. That was a fun documentary, Dustin. Good. Glad you got to see that. Rachel writes, Ocean's 11. Michael writes, Lost World, Son of Dracula, and Mile 22. Kelly writes, The Towering Inferno and Pack of Lies. Terry writes, Blind Alley from 1939, Shorts on Michigan Avenue from 1973, and I-94 from 1974, The United States of America, and Three on a Match from 1932. Amanda writes, Pawn Sacrifice, The Queen's Gambit, and The Ghost in Mrs. Muir. Patty writes, Topper Returns and Us. Jared writes, Black Boys on Peacock and Jingle Jangle. Jennifer writes, Pride and Prejudice, 2005. David writes, L.A. Confidential. God, what a perfect film. David, I'm with you on that. I love that film. I would love to show it to Emma if I could. Hopefully. We'll see. Mulvian writes, A heavy-duty film week. David Cronenberg's Naked Lunch. Yep. And Spike Lee's Bamboozled. And finally, The Disappearance of My Mother, about the 60s and 70s Italian fashion model Bernadetta Barzini, with cameos from Lauren Hutton, Dali, and Warhol. Tell Lauren Hutton about my shows. Joe writes, Finding Forrester, Moneyball, and The Untouchables. Mike writes, Lindsay Anderson's Mick Travis movies. Ben writes, Airplane, Airplane 2, all the police academies. I can't handle any serious stuff right now. Dukes of Hazzard, Happy Gilmore, Billy Madison, the musical version of The Producers, several of the Indiana Jones, War Games, Monty Python and the Holy Grail, several 007 movies, comfort food, lots of comfort food. and then Ben added, though Queen's Gambit, not a movie, but damn good, about as serious as I can get in the last several weeks. Ben, it's okay. We've all been there. I understand. And finally, Stephen always likes to come in with a late one, and a late entry from last evening, Black Orpheus, which I hadn't seen in decades. Thank you, Stephen. And there you go, friends. That's what you've been watching. So hope you got to watch something new, or at least new to you, as well as fall back on old favorites. Wow, what a long week. Friends, some words to live by.
Silent breed is people!
Zardoz has spoken.
Go see a good movie. You deserve it. There's plenty out there. Hope you're staying safe. Hope you're staying healthy. Hope you're staying sane. Hope you're being good to one another. And we'll talk. Well, I'll talk to you and give you more movie titles next week. And actually, next week is a very special film sociology. It is a film sociology Thanksgiving weekend tradition. And if you're a longtime listener, you know who I'm talking about. And if you don't, you're just gonna have to tune in. So take care, everybody. You're listening to Film Sociology, a film podcast here at WFYI.org. Good afternoon, Fort Myers. Good afternoon, California. Good afternoon, Michigan.
I can't believe you let her watch Manos. Is she scarred for life?
Let's put it this way.
Parent are you?
When I wake her up, I vocalize the theme to wake her up to get her ready to school.
Oh, you're a terrible father.
Okay. We'll do it live.
Okay.
We'll do it live!